I guess as an icebreaker, I'll give you some personal, I'm going to give you personal illustrations anyway, but I'll give you this one starting off. So, does anybody in here call their mom by their name? No, I do. I don't know how it started, when it started. I was too young to remember. I think it was my brother. Maybe he was rebellious at a young age or something, but I've always called my mom by her name, which is Angie. And that's just, it's not being disrespectful, it's just the way that we did it. So my sister, which is younger than us, she calls her mom or mama, but we don't. My daddy, when he was alive, we never called him daddy or papa or anything like that. It was always Roy, which was his name. So if y'all are offended by that, I blame it on my older brother. So. And I being the innocent, impressionable person, I followed after him. So I should have cleaned my glasses before I got started, but I didn't. You can turn to Luke chapter 2. I keep saying that I'm going to start doing PowerPoint again, and then I don't. So we'll see how these things go. So while you're turning to Luke chapter 2, and today we honor, we remember, we praise our mothers. From generations past to the present, mothers have been instrumental in not only birthing children that have done great and mighty things, but have been the most influential person in the life of a child. It has been said, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And if you think of the influence of a mother, whether it's good or bad, the mama has an influence on their child. I think we were talking out in the hall, or right here maybe. I think maybe it was Joe that had mentioned that, where people, some women just cannot conceive, and we read about that in the scriptures as well, that there are some women that just could not have children, and they begged and they pleaded for the Lord to allow them to have children. And a lot of these women, even though they can't physically have a child, they become that mother figure for a number of children. I think about foster care and adoption, where you may have had your own children, but then you open up your home to other children to come in. So there's a special place for mothers, and truly you have an impact on your children, again, good or bad, but you are the ones that truly change the world. You direct the world in the things that you do with your children. Again, good or bad, that's what happens. Us fathers, we have an influence, good or bad, but it is not as much as what the mama is able to do or not do, and it lasts in the child's life. So as we look into the scriptures, we'll be seeing what is typical of mothers. Now, this is a caveat. There are variations, anomalies, and abnormalities brought about because of the fall of man in Genesis 3. The sin nature that we each have and the acts of sin that we have been that have been committed throughout the generations. So what I will say is that His grace is sufficient for even the flawed mother-child relationships. And all of us have that, because as much as we are here to lift up our mothers and encourage them and say, thank you, moms, there's no perfect mom. So I'll just go ahead and say that. My mom wasn't perfect. Abby's mama wasn't perfect. None of you mothers sitting in here, you're not perfect. Or your children might think that you are, but you're not. So let's look at Luke chapter 2. We're just going to read a portion of one verse, and then we're going to get into our message. And this is going to be our focus. So I'll go ahead and say this on the onset, that when we read this portion of this verse, this is going to be a weighty message this morning. I hope it ends up being an encouragement, but it's going to be a weighty reality of what mothers deal with. Now, I'm coming at it from a secondhand observer point of view, so I can't tell you. No man, no husband can ever be a mother. I'm just going to state that as a statement of fact. So I'm coming at it from my point of view, looking at my mom, looking at my wife, looking at my grandmother, and the mothers within this room as well. So just keep that in mind. I don't have absolute authority on anything that a mother does, but I just want us to think about the typical mother. So Luke chapter 2, verse 35. And I'm reading from the New King James, so it might be a little bit different depending on what translation you're using. So we're just going to jump in, and we're going to read this one portion. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also. And that's going to be the springboard of our message this morning as we focus on mothers. So I chose this one verse as our text because it's significant. It brings out the reality of what Mary, the mother of Jesus, would experience both in observing his life and hearing his words. She alone would have to wrestle with her role as his physical, biological mother and her submission to him as Yahweh God. I don't think any mother can comprehend what Mary went through. We think about Eve and we can't comprehend what Eve went through. She went from perfection and sinlessness to being a sinful woman and then to raise sinful children. And we see the effects of that sinfulness in her first two children, or at least her older son and one of his brothers, and the fact that he killed a sibling. The first murder of a human being that took place after Adam and Eve fell in Genesis chapter 3. So I chose this verse as a reminder of what Mary went through. And now we're going to look at how it relates to the mothers today. So as we go through these points, I want us just to keep that in mind. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also. So we think about Adam and Eve in the garden. She took of that forbidden fruit she gave to her husband. He also took of it. Adam failed in his role as husband and eventually as father as well. But he made the decision. She was deceived. We know that from Scripture. But from that point, from this history, mothers have had to make difficult decisions as they have sought to do what was right for their children. Again, it is unfortunate that not all mothers are good, nor do they all do what is right or best for their children. Again, we are flawed human beings, and we do not do everything perfectly. I think about my wife and raising Abby, and I can say there are things that she could have done better. She will say that there are things that she could have done better, that she wished she could have done differently. We always look back at our past and we say, I wish I could have done that. As a father, I certainly do that. As a husband, I certainly do that. But the end result, is the end result worth the effort that somebody has put into something? And this specific situation is the raising of a child. So there are all of these varieties and these variations that are out there. Good mothers, bad mothers, abusive mothers, and so forth. But typically, a mother wants to do right for their child. So reality, again, is there are no perfect mothers. It is most often the mother that loses sleep for the child. In personal experience, I can say that's true. I've had some good night's sleep, and I'll wake up the next morning, and Samantha, you can look at her face and like, you didn't sleep good last night? No, Abby kept me up all night. Or, you know, whatever was going on, Abby was sick, or Abby was just fussy, especially when she was a little baby. I slept like a baby myself. I didn't. But what I noticed was, especially if I was off work, like it was a weekend or something, Daddy took over in the daytime. And then if I needed help, which a lot of times I did, I'd wake her up from her sleep. But that's just the facts. Mothers will lose sleep over their children. Mothers will go out of their way. I remember when Abby, and I'm using Abby as a lot of examples this morning, she never wanted to spend the night anywhere. And then eventually she would say, well, I'm gonna spend the night at my cousin's house. And I was like, okay, we got free date night. We go out, have fun, come back home, get in bed, we'd go to sleep, and all of a sudden that phone would ring. It would be my sister-in-law, my brother's wife, calling, Abby wants to come home. Being the daddy, I would say, she's staying. We are not going to get her. Guess what Samantha did? She got up. I'm going to get her. Sometimes I'd ride with her and sometimes I wouldn't, but Daddy was going to say, hey, you're going to stick it out. And Mama would say, I'm going to get my baby. And Abby still turned out all right. I'm going to try and keep my place on these things. That's a good thing about PowerPoint. It helps me keep my place. Pages do not. So they're losing sleep. From the moment of conception, a mother is in a deficit. She becomes focused on not only her own care, which often takes a back seat, but also the well-being of her child. This dedicated focus continues through her child's childhood, teenage, young adult, middle age, and if the Lord wills, even when her child is elderly. You think about this, people say that we're living longer now, so you might have a 90-year-old mom that's still got like a 70-year-old child, and that's remarkable to me, but it happens. So even at that point, the mother is still the mother, and she is still wanting the best for her child. So as a dad and a child, I can only give a secondhand observer perspective. I'm thinking about my memories going back, both as a child being raised by my mom and then as a husband watching how Samantha has done with Abby over Abby's lifetime. There have been instances where both my mom and my wife have stood as a protective mama bear. A lot of times it was because of what the dad was doing or going to do or whatever it may be, but the mama bear would step in. I thought about this verse, Hosea 13, verse 8. I will meet them like a bear deprived of her cubs. I will tear open their rib cage, and there I will devour them like a lion. The wild beast shall tear them. And I thought about that, and on these occasions that my wife has stepped in between me and Abby, it was like that mama bear. And I looked like the deer in the headlights. I'm like, ooh, little short lady's going to come. She's going to try and scratch me up and kill me or something. So I wasn't going to give one specific time, but Samantha says, you got to add that in. So I'm going to add that in. Abby was a baby, and she was so precious. But, man, she could cry. And I think this was when she still had colic. And Samantha went somewhere with her friends. And I was like, well, you need a break because you the mama, you always with her, and the baby's crying, crying, crying. So she left. Baby started crying. I'm trying to console her. You know, Abby, you know, just calm down. It's okay. Daddy's here. And, of course, that didn't help anything. It just made it worse. So I had it up to here, and I just yelled, hey, a lot louder than that. It was so loud that my wife coming in the door heard it. So here I am, just finished yelling. Abby takes, it's like it stuns her. So she's like, you know how babies do? And then all of a sudden, that you know that loud squeal's coming. So mama's coming in, loud squeal's coming. She's heard me hit my breaking point because daddies are not like moms. It's just a fact. So she comes in, and the look on that face, I was like, ooh. So I was like, you take the baby. I got to go. So I got out of the house, and it's a movie, like, I ain't going to tell you what the movie was, but it was a lady holding the baby, and she bumped the baby's head or something, and then the mama was like, give me my baby. So it was like that with Abby on Samantha's face, like, give me my baby. So protective mama bear jumps in. I go off, and I ride down the road, and I cool off, and I come back, and I'm hoping she's cooled off. I hope she's going to let me in the house, which she did, obviously. So I told her, I was like, I tried. I said, you can't do that. I said, I can't handle that. So we learned our limits. We've grown from that. And Abby survived. She's fine. I didn't get any broken bones. She didn't get any broken bones. Everything's good. Abby don't even remember. All right. So that was my one illustration that I'll give you. I can give you some of my mom, and I remember one, my brother, my older brother. He took his truck when he was 15 for a joyride with some of his cousins that were his age, and they went riding down a dirt road, going a little bit too fast, gravel got it, slung it into a tree, and he wrecked that truck. My daddy was a mechanic. He has painted that truck. He had fixed that truck. It was good to go. So somehow my brother gets home, and he tells my mom, and my mom's like, well, I will intervene. Your daddy will come home, and I will break the news to him. Well, the truck was left at my uncle's house, and my daddy, after work, went straight to my uncle's house. Usually didn't do that. Usually he'd come home and eat first, and then he'd go to my uncle's house because that's where they had the shop and stuff. Well, he decided he was just going to go on there. Well, he saw the truck. So coming home, all we heard was squealing tires coming into the trailer park, into the driveway, and all I remember is my mama saying, get to your room. So she intervened, and my brother's still alive, and he's going to turn 50 this year. So mamas know what they're doing. They have to intervene, and they will intervene at all costs to keep their children safe. So, again, this is the normal, typical thing. A mom who is married, again, we have this sin-cursed world, and not all moms are married, and that's just a fact that we live in today. But the ones who are married, not only do they have to nurture the children, but they also have to deal with the husband. And the husband is sometimes that man-child, as they will call us sometimes. To a mom, the growing up of the child can feel like a sword piercing even her soul. She is torn between being a mom and yet knowing that as her child grows, they will grow into someone who depends less on them. Never do we completely cease to depend on our mamas, on our dads. I got to throw that in there too. Even though it's not Father's Day, you got Father's Day, don't you? Or Jason, you got it? All right. So Joshua will take care of that. So we always depend on our parents, but the dependency changes. I believe that is why it is so important why God instituted marriage before procreation. A husband and a wife, a father and a mother, make up a unit that balances. I hope that all of us are aware of the differences between a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, a father and a mother. Neither is better than the other. We are just different. Again, a mama can handle a lot of situations that a dad can't handle, and a dad can handle a lot of situations that a mom can't handle. So the family unit needs both to balance it out and to give the children true structure. And again, we have these dynamics in our society and in our world, but God is able to make a way with that. It is difficult for mom to let go. Her nurturing instinct is so strong that she will love her children to the detriment of her personal health and well-being. Her love is unceasing, relentless, and devoted. Many a husband, a father, has been at least once in the relationship jealous of their wife's dedication and care of the children. Fathers, is that true or not? Why can't you love me the way that you love such and such child? Why can't I have as much of your attention that you're giving to the child? And a lot of times I say, well, it's your fault that I have the child, and they'll turn it around on us, and we're still guilty. But a lot of times that will run through our minds. Man, I wish you loved me the way that you love Abby or whatever it may be. And we know that our wives love us, at least we hope we do. But it's just a different dynamic, and we'll talk about that as we go through this. In Matthew 23:37, it says, as a hen gathers or protects her chicks under her wings, this is the length that a mom will go to for their children. So me and Samantha, we've had chickens over the years, and I've watched those chickens as they've incubated those eggs on their own, and as those eggs have hatched, and as that chicken has taken those chicks literally up under her wings. It's so fascinating to watch how God's creation does. She'll have those wings puffed out, and you'll see a chick here poking out and a chick here poking out. And if she stands up, you can actually see the feet hanging where they are actually up under her wings. So God knows what he's talking about. And what he's saying is that this is how a mom will take care of her children. She will protect them. She will fend them off, or she will fend off foe, snakes, hawks, other chickens. It doesn't matter. She will take care of her chicks as much as she can. Same thing with a mom, and that's what a mom will do. I was thinking about our neighbor. He bales hay a few times a year, and usually around this time he'll bale his first time, and that's when the turkeys are in the fields with their nests. And he's called me twice last year, and he said, hey, you want an injured turkey? I hit it with the mower, and it's not going to make it anyway. Each time I was busy, and I couldn't come and get it and, you know, butcher and process it and stuff. But that turkey would not move from that nest. She would not save her own life because she wanted her eggs to survive. Ultimately, she paid the ultimate price, and the eggs didn't hatch anyway because she wasn't there to take care of them. But that's the cost of a mother. She will die. She will take herself out, if need be, to protect her children. Again, that mama bear instinct. I've seen videos of bears, and here comes this old male grizzly bear, and he'll walk up, and it's a mama, and she's got her two or three cubs or whatever it is, and she won't back down even though she's half the size of the male grizzly. She just will not back down. So imagine with me the scenario. I don't know if I heard this somewhere or if I doubt it came up on my own, but I probably heard it somewhere else. But this is a scenario. And I got my wife's input first because I wanted to see if what I was thinking was true. And she confirmed that it was, at least for her. So a wife, a mother, is in the emergency room. It's a life or death situation. Doctor needs for the husband or the father to make a decision. Surgery can go one of two ways. The first one is the life of the wife or the mother is spared, but the child dies. The life of the child, this is scenario two, the life of the child is spared, but the wife, mother, dies. Which do you choose? The husband, the father, thinks it through. We can potentially have another child, but this is my wife. I choose to save my wife. Typically, that's what us as fathers, we would do. What would the mother do? Save her child. just to be clear, it's not that the husband and father is unloving, because we're not. We just have a different role. We have a different mindset. The husband is a fierce protector of his wife. He's also a protector of his children, but not to the point like a mother is. To him, and I believe it's biblical, his wife is second place after the Lord. So Abby knows that her daddy loves her. At least I hope she does. She does. But the husband's love for the wife is even stronger than that. I joke sometimes, and maybe it's got a little bit of belief that it may be true, but I joke about this, that Samantha loves Abby more than me. And it's not necessarily that. It's just a different mindset. She has a different role. While mom is more likely to take disrespect from a child, the child would never be disrespectful to a parent, especially the mom, right? Of course we would. That's why we have to be told to honor our father and our mother, because we know that it's a natural tendency of a sinful person to disrespect and be rebellious. So a wife, while a mom is more likely to take disrespect from a child, most fathers will, upon hearing it or hearing of it, will, as Barney Fife would say, nip it in the bud. So I watched a video, I can't remember what it was, but it was like a challenge. You know how these videos, they do like a challenge thing, and then they video it to see what happens. So this one was on the dads, and it was the child, whether it was the daughter or the son, it didn't matter, and the mom. So the mom was supposed to ask the child to do something or whatever, and then the child was supposed to respond back, "Shut up, mom." So the video's on dad to see how dad would respond. And the child would say, "Shut up, mom." And 9 out of 10 of those dads immediately responded. Not in a good way. They were going straight to the child. And I was like, man, that's interesting, because we've had to do that with her. I mean, it's almost like immediate instinct for the dad to defend the wife. So the wife knows it's a joke, but she doesn't know, dad doesn't know it's a joke. So mom has to immediately become Mama Bear and intervene. It's just a joke. It's just a joke. We got it. We got you on camera. That's all it is about that. Because dad was going to take care of child. So mom, being mom, has to jump in and intervene and save the child, even though it was just a joke. So I just thought that was interesting to see how the dad responds protecting his wife, and then mama always goes back to that natural thing of protecting the child. Even if the child is doing a sinful thing, even if the child has made a mistake, it's always the mom that is saying, "I've got you. I've got you back. I'm right here with you no matter what." And dad, we just look at it a little bit different. It is often mom who is there for a child's first, whether it's talking, walking, potty, boo-boos, doesn't matter. It is mom who is always the listening ear, the warm hug, a phone call away. While us dads would often not want to know, may be uncomfortable with outward shows of affection, I'm not. She doesn't care for it, but it's the dad who most of the time may not be much for late night conversations, especially if it's that girl talk. I let mama take care of all of that. But I remember Abby growing up, and they'd have their late night conversations when Abby was just little. "Mama, can you lay with me?" and all this. And I'm like, "I'm going to sleep. I'm not laying in your room or anything like that. And I don't want you in my bed, so you need to go to your room." But mama would always go in there, and they would have their conversations and their together time. It is typically mom that, even if she works outside of the home, still labors loyally for her children before work, after work, even while at work. Fathers often have their extracurricular activities in addition to their jobs, hobbies, side jobs, often without much thought or guilt. Dads leave mom at home to care for the kids. And a lot of times it's just the way that life happens. Sometimes dad has to work extra hours for side jobs and extra money and so forth. Sometimes we just work late because of our jobs. But mom is always there. Moms may feel guilty about a once-a-month date night Again, when Abby was little, we had very infrequent date nights without her because she wanted to always be with us. She was an only child, so most of the time, only childs are spoiled, I'll just tell you that. Most of the time, that's because of mama. In Abby's case, it was probably 50-50. But that's what happened. So we had our occasional infrequent dates. But normally what I found out was I'm trying to spend time with my wife, and my wife's thinking about, let's go to this store, let's go to that store, and Abby would get gifts for whatever reason. We'd bring her toys and stuff back home. It's just the mama mentality is all about, it's not all about, but she is dedicated and focused on those children. As we go back to Luke 2:35, yes, a sword would pierce through your own soul also. One of the most concerning things, and this is going to get the weighty part, and just bear with me as we go through this, because this is a reality of our lives. This is a reality within our society. This is a reality ever since Eve and her children and going forth. So one of the most concerning things for a mother is the thought of their child dying before them. Any mothers ever thought about that? Of course. Any parent thinks about that. It's our worst nightmare. So this is a difficult topic, excuse me, and yet one that is a reality for many moms. Whether the death is while the child is in the womb or the child is in their 70s, a child dying before their mom is truly a sword piercing through her own soul. Mary was given a heads up, according to this verse, and yet she would not be prepared for what she would experience watching her child breathe his last breath. Even though she knew that he was going to the cross for a purpose, and she had the prophecies that he was going to be raised from the dead and that he wasn't going to stay in the grave. Still, as a mother, and you watch your child die, just put yourself in that situation and what type of feelings she would have. As much as a father loves a child, we cannot comprehend the connection, that bond that knits a mother to her child, but God knows and cares for every mother that goes through this tragedy. From Eve, the mother of all human beings, to Mary, the mother of Jesus, to mothers in the 21st century, there are broken hearts, pierced souls of mothers who grieve the death of a child. So again, I don't want to stay on this focus of death too much, but it is a reality within our society. So we're going to talk about one particular issue that we have within American society that's very well known, and that's abortion. I do want us to recognize that there is no other death that affects a relationship like this. We live in a culture of death, particularly infanticide, which is what abortion is. It's the killing of babies in the womb. The church must be a place of healing for those who come in, for those mothers who have, for whatever reason, chosen to abort their babies. When the mother comes to the understanding, as many have, that it isn't just a clump of cells, but it is a baby, they experience great grief, remorse, sorrow, guilt, shame, etc. We have to meet them with grace, love, mercy, and hope. May this local meeting here be a safe space that they can come in for redemption and reconciliation. Many mothers experience miscarriage. That went down the wrong way. At different stages of development, biology tells us that at the point of conception, that is when life begins. The scriptures tell us that as well. What I learned in my training from mental health coaching is that many mothers who have had a miscarriage have never been allowed to grieve that death. Society doesn't view a miscarriage in the same way as a stillborn delivery or the death of a child that they've never, after they have been born. We're quick to offer sympathy in the form of, you can always try again later. I thought about this when I was looking at abortion, and I was like, man, I've never thought about this before. But the church always says that abortion is the killing of a baby. It's the taking of a life. But we don't look at miscarriage the same way. You can have another. But that's the loss of a life. So if abortion is the killing of a baby, then a miscarriage is the death of a baby. And we should let that mother grieve. So regardless when the child dies, whether in the womb or at retirement age, if they die before the parent, particularly the mother, it is devastating. It's so devastating that there is no word in our language to describe a mother who has lost a child. We have widow, we have widower, we have orphan. But what's the word for a mother or a father who has lost a child? There's none in the English language. I came across a word in Sanskrit, which is an old language that some of the Indians in India still speak today in their religious ceremonies for Hinduism and Buddhism and so forth. But it's Viloma, and it means against the natural order. So when we think about a mother losing a child, it's against the natural order. But it's because of sin on this earth and because of the effects of sin that many parents have to bury their child. I'll give you one illustration. Abby was little. I don't know how. She was recently born. I can't remember how, if she was a couple of months or what. Went to visit my grandmother, my mama's mama. We called her Mima. And I wanted to get some pictures. Wanted to get some pictures with Abby and all of her grandparents that were still alive. Her husband, my grandpa, had already passed away. He passed away when I was little. So I was like, well, I'm going to get pictures of them and get them to see their great-grandbaby, and that's what I did. So we were over at my mama's apartment, and she was holding Abby, and I don't know how the conversation came up, but she got to talking about her kids and how a blessing it is and all of that. And you listen to your elders. You know, you're going to sit there and you're going to listen to them. Well, she had seven kids. She had multiple miscarriages in between those seven kids as well. And her oldest son died when he was in his late 20s, a freak accident with a gun. He was a security guard. So in the conversation, she said this: a mother should never have to bury her child. It's not natural. He died in his late 20s. This was before I was born, before my brother was born, so it was early 70s. When she told me that, she was in her mid-70s. So that's the period of time that has passed, at least 30-plus years, and she still felt the grief and the sorrow. That cuts through the weightiness. All right, so another situation, child situation, that many mothers in America know far too well is a child in addiction. Not just a child sinning, because all of us sin to a certain extent, but one that is controlled by, consumed by, compelled toward a substance, whether it's alcohol, drugs, gambling, sex, whatever. But a mother lives and sees a child that is in addiction, struggling with addiction. While many fathers would typically offer stern rebuke and may even reject the child, mothers, on the other hand, love to a fault, often enabling. I put mothering, but you put an S in front of it, so smothering and defending this child. It is amazing to see the roles of parents. Mothers, though flawed, reflect God's mercy and grace. Fathers, though flawed, reflect His justice and correction. And a child needs both. Even though flawed, having two parents in a child's life is a difference maker. The last point I want us to look at is the child of rebellion. One that though they have been raised under the nurture and admonition of the Lord, they have turned to their own way and forsook the God of their parents. Many a mom cries out to the Lord for the salvation of the child. Her love, her care goes unmatched by all but God Himself. So much so that even today, around the world, there are unbelieving children sitting beside of their mother in a church meeting because they love and honor their parent. So I put this in here just to see how next month goes with the fathers. Take notice of the number of people that show up at a church meeting for Mother's Day compared to Father's Day. I'm just trying to say to the fathers, we need love too. If I had multiple children, it might be difficult, but I'll tell Abby, hey, you need to be here next month. You need to represent. That's right. So a mother's life is not all beauty. There's also ashes. It's a labor of love, often without thanks. I can remember plenty of times when Mom did stuff for us. I was typically the better of the three children. I showed more respect because I had one on over here that was older, and he always got in trouble, and I saw what happened to him, and I was like, well, I'm going to keep my mouth shut. Then I had one that was on the other end, and she was younger, so you know how the baby girls go, never do any wrong or anything. So I watched how she talked, and sometimes she would get some reactions from my mom and my daddy, too. I was like, well, I'll just keep my mouth shut. So most of the time, I was the one doing the respect and trying to say thank you, but still it failed. But yet the mother still endures, does her best, and remains her child's greatest resource outside of Christ Jesus. A mother wants what's best for her child or her children. What's best for each of us is to trust in a God who loves us more than our mom. And is that possible, that somebody would love us more than our moms? Again, some of us didn't have great backgrounds being raised by our mom or maybe being neglected by our mom or whatever. But the typical thing is that a mom loves their child unconditionally. So you think about the mom's love and then consider God's love for us. So our moms who love us so much, and yet God loves us even more, He is that hen who wants to gather us under His wings of protection. So much so that He would sacrifice Himself on our behalf, paying the price for your and my sins on a cross that people like us nailed Him to. You might be here today because Mama wanted you here. And what Mama says, we try and obey. Not always, but we do try. So maybe you're here because your Mama wanted you to be here, but you're still not a believer. You see your Mama's faith, but yet it hasn't become your faith. I've always heard that God has no grandchildren. You do not obtain eternal salvation, eternal life, based on the faith of your parents. Let today be your day of salvation, where you in simple faith agree with God that you are a sinner in need of His salvation. And with that faith, accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. There's room for you under His wings of protection and peace. So as we close out this morning, happy Mother's Day to the mothers. Your labor is not in vain. You have a hard work, hard task. The end result is children that hopefully love you until you take your last breath. You are influential. You change lives. You have power. It's amazing. You have power. Use that power for the glory of God. And I pray that your children will continue to bless you, to honor you, to respect you. And as we've been studying in 1 Timothy, there may come a point when your child has to take care of you and you have to depend on your child. And I pray that they love you enough to do that. Let's close in prayer. Father, we just thank you this morning for allowing us to honor our mothers and the impact that they have had in our lives. Even if we didn't come from a perfect home where Mom was a godly woman, where Mom was even a believer, our mothers have still had an impact on us. We think about the mothers who gave birth to us. We think about the mothers who maybe stepped in because a birth mother abandoned us or whatever the situation may be. But you have been that one who has helped us along the way. So whether it was a biological mother or whether it was a mother figure, as Ernest T. Bass would say, you have brought people into our lives that have been able to show us the love of Christ and to direct us to you. So we pray for our mothers this morning. We pray that you would bless them beyond what we as their children are capable of doing. Help them to know that they are loved, that they are important, that they are vital to society. And in our lives as their children, they are so important. We just love you and we praise you. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who has shown us what your love is. As we reflect on that hen that would gather up her chicks, even being willing to sacrifice itself on behalf of its babies. We think about what God, you have done for us, the ultimate sacrifice on behalf of those who would spit in your face, would mock you, would rebel against you, and yet you would still love us. Help us to honor our parents by honoring you. In Christ's name, amen.